Hey, Lori here. Thanks for joining me for this week's podcast on how to balance taking complete ownership with not taking over. In other words, not being a control freak. If you haven't checked out the weekly blog on laying blame and taking ownership this week, you can stop on over to leadingwithgrit.com and check that out. So, you know, often during classes or coaching sessions, people will ask me how to draw the line between taking ownership and taking over. In fact, one woman recently said she received her 360-degree feedback report, and it was very clearly pointed out some people, in fact, a lot of people, thought she was too commanding and controlling. So, this woman, Sarah, she tries to do her best and get the work done. She admitted that often she got impatient and might not allow enough time, but she still could not understand why some people wouldn't just step up. So two things we talked about. First, we talked about DISC styles and, you know, how some people just approach tasks and conversations very differently. Sarah has had a lot of work in DISC with me, and so we didn't have to spend a whole lot of time on what DISC is. And she started to really put the pieces together that, you know, when you understand a person's motivation and stressors from their DISC style, it certainly helps us to adapt our own language and behavior so that we can better fit that situation. So having that as a tool in her back pocket, we then got into how to not take over and not be that control freak. And, you know, a lot of it for her had to do with trusting that others would follow through and actually do the work. So she had to work on that piece of it, you know, and just that letting go and allowing people the opportunity to work through things. The biggest aha for Sarah was the fact that she was actually responsible for developing people, not just getting work done. You know, in leadership, this is a huge piece of the job, and Sarah and I worked on being aware of her intent for quite a while. If she practiced being aware that one of her major value-added activities was to develop people, she could then align her behavior and communication around that intent. She'd ask more questions. She'd allow people to think through things. She'd be empowering them to take ownership. Well, after it was probably about 6 weeks, and last week Sarah called, and she was elated at the difference she was experiencing in such a short time. She, in fact, had a meeting with her team and let them know that she really appreciated what they had shared with her on her 360, and she told them exactly what she was working on, that she was letting go, you know, not being such a control freak. She lightened up, had a good time, told them, you know, about it, and she told them that she was going to give them more development opportunities, so they were going to see this change in her. This was a great technique because it helped the team be even more ready to accept Sarah's new behavior. And then Sarah was already feeling so much better about the entire situation. So before she hung up, Sarah, you know, she said she had only wished one thing, and she'd wished that she had gotten this 360 and this coaching years ago so she wouldn't have had to struggle for so long. And we laughed and we talked about having no regrets because, you know, who knows, maybe she wouldn't have even been ready for it then. So you think about your own situation, and if you're struggling with taking over too much or you manage someone who has that issue, it's all about aligning to what your real responsibilities are. You know, what should you really be doing in your position, and realizing that giving people those opportunities to step up is a huge piece of your management and leadership position. So, hey, thanks for joining me this week. And if you have any comments about this podcast or questions for future topics, please feel free to submit them at leadingwithgrit.com. Have a fantabulous week.